The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Turn to John 21, if you would. For the time remaining, I want to speak to you and begin reading in John 21. I'm going to go ahead and read as you're turning there, John, the 21st chapter. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. I want to talk to you here for the time remaining about Peter goes fishing again. Let me just give you a very brief synopsis chronologically of where this is occurring, okay? The best I can tell from reading the different Gospels, Sunday morning, Jesus was resurrected, some Sunday morning a few days before this. And on that same day, of course, you have the account of Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And ultimately, he appears to the apostles and talks with them. It says that Thomas was not there that night, Thomas being one of these that went fishing with Peter. And so in the Gospels, it says about 8 days later, Jesus appeared to Thomas. So if you do the math on that, it probably was the Monday night, you know, two Monday nights after his resurrection. 8 days from that Sunday night would have been the following, a week from that next Monday. Does that make sense? I can count. 8 days later was probably that next Monday night. And Jesus was on the earth for 40 days after he was resurrected. So from the morning of the resurrection until he ascended back to heaven, out there, you read about it in the Gospels and in the book of Acts, it was 40-day time period. So if you figure 8 days had passed before this little fishing trip, sometime after that Monday night, and between the time when he went back to heaven, in that time frame right there, probably I would just say a week or two, has gone by, and this is when Peter goes fishing. Sometime after that Monday night when Jesus appeared to Thomas and the others were there, and at one point during the time that Jesus was resurrected and appeared to them, he instructed the apostles after that 8 days had passed. He said, I want you to go back into Galilee. See, they were in Jerusalem where Jesus had been crucified. The reason I'm telling you this is because I want you to get the background and the picture of what is really going on here. Jesus has told them to go back into Galilee, which was out of the city, out of the all of the things that were taking place there in the city, out of the excitement, out of where all of these events had unfolded over those many days, and the resurrection had occurred. He said, I want you to go back into Galilee, which was their hometown area. I don't know if you've seen a picture of the Sea of Galilee. You can look those up online, and I'm sure it looks a little bit different. But it was also known as the Sea of Gennesaret, and also known as the Sea of Tiberias. One of the kings, one of the puppet kings there in the Roman Empire, had beautified the Sea of Galilee and renamed it after one of the emperor, whose name was Tiberius. The word Tiber or Tiberius, it means river god. And so one of the Herods had beautified the Sea of Galilee and renamed it and claimed it for the Roman Empire, and he called it also the Sea of Tiberias. So when you read about the Sea of Tiberias, you're also reading about the Sea of Gennesaret, and it's also the Sea of Galilee. It's three different names for the same place. And so Jesus had told them to go back into Galilee, and here it says they come to the Sea of Tiberias. Now I want you to understand, this is where it all began, 3.5 years before. So they're back to the starting point, they're back to a familiar place, and they're back to the seashore once again. I don't know for sure, but it would be very interesting if this was in fact the very place where Jesus first encountered them. We don't know that for sure, but it's kind of suspicious to me that Peter knew where to find a boat. You know, do you think he could have just stored his boat up there in the bushes somewhere and covered it up, or maybe buried it under some limbs and different things so maybe nobody would find it? All of a sudden he pulls out a boat. You see? They're back to the beginning. They're back where they started. And the second thing I want you to notice about this is who it was. It's very important that John, the writer of the gospel, tells you who was gathered together for this fishing trip. It says, there were together Simon Peter. This is denying Peter. This is the Peter that denied Jesus. Denying Peter. And then there's Thomas, who was doubting Thomas. And then throw in there negative Nathanael, who we read about in John the first chapter, that said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Think about the personalities of these men. Denying Peter, the one that denied Jesus, and doubting Thomas, who had said, except I see the nail prints in his hand or thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. And then you've got negative Nathanael. And then, by the way, throw in two brothers there, James and John, who were also known as the sons of thunder. They could get fired up and wound up. And here they are just agging it on. Boy, you got a mess of apostles right here, don't you? You say, well, I thought these guys were perfect. Then you hadn't read the Bible. These men were sinners. These men were negative. They were doubters. They were deniers. They were loud mouth, and they would say things that they shouldn't say. Does it sound familiar? Can you identify with that? That's one of the great lies of modern religion, is that you can't identify with these men and you can't identify with these things in the Word of God. I'm telling you, they're more relevant than what you read in the morning newspaper if you'll get in it and stay in it. These men, I can identify with these men. I mean, I can be a little loud mouth from time to time. I can certainly say things that I shouldn't say. You know, the Word of God says in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. That one slaps me in the face every day because I talk a lot. I talk for a living. And I think, man, how much sin have I committed today just in the multitude of words that I have said? I think about that all the time. I can identify with Peter. I can also identify with doubting Thomas, because of the doubts and fears that control me at times. And I can certainly identify with negative Nathanael. Can any good thing come out of that? Let me tell you why Nathanael was so negative, okay? Now you listen carefully to this. You listen carefully. The reason that Nathanael was so negative, because he was an Israelite in whom there was no guile. He was walking the walk. He was talking the talk. And he began to think that there was nobody else doing that but him. He'd become a Pharisee in his own mind. Because when you walk the walk and when you talk the talk and you begin to be absorbed by the things that are around you, and you see this person's not doing what you're doing, and that person's not doing what you're doing, and that person's saying some things they shouldn't be saying, the next thing you know, you're going to become negative Nathanael, and you're going to think you're the only one that's walking that walk and doing it right and talking that talk. That's why Nathanael was so negative. Know anybody like that? I don't care what the movement is, or I don't care what the attitude is. When you get into the mindset that you're the only one following the Lord the way that the Lord wants to be followed, you're in a mess. You're in a mess. Because the Word of God says that there's people in foreign countries that have never heard the name Jesus that are serving God because God's written the law in their heart. In the new birth, he's given them life in their heart, and they're serving him. They don't know his name, and they don't know where that came from, but they're trying to follow the law that's been written in their heart, and they're way better off than us when we get that Pharisaical mind, knowing what we know. You see? Does that make sense? You know, Paul said knowledge puffs up. Knowledge puffs up, but charity, it brings humility. And you see, Nathanael had all this knowledge. Nathanael was in the right, he felt like he was following the right path, walking the right walk, talking the right, and nobody else was. I can just see Nathanael looking at Peter and think, he's the one that denied Jesus. And there's Thomas, he doubted the Lord. Not me. I'm an Israelite in whom there is no guile. You see, that is so dangerous. Look at these men that were gathered together. And then throw in there, like I said, the sons of thunder, just agging it on. You know, they're the ones that said, Lord, shall we call fire down from heaven and destroy these men that are using your name and not following us? Boy, they were quick on the trigger, weren't they? You see how judgmental they were? Put all these guys together, and guess what? Peter says, I go fishing. Now, the next thing I want you to get out of that is this. This wasn't a trip down to Pickensville for a fishing trip, okay? This wasn't me saying to Brother Asher, let's go down and fish on the Ocklawaha River in May like we do every year, and we'll go for a couple days. That's just a little fishing trip. This is a career path. Peter says, I'm going back to fishing. Are you with me on this? He's done. Jesus has sent them back to the beginning. You see what they're thinking? He sent them back to Galilee, sent them back to the seashore. Peter sees a boat, probably his own maybe, and he says, he's done with us. You know, I denied him. I mean, look at Thomas. He doubted him at every turn. He's the one that said, if Lazarus is dead, let's go and die with him. Dramatic drama. And here's old Nathaniel. Peter probably thought, I'll never live up to the standard of guileless Nathaniel. I'm just going fishing. Forget it. We've been waiting here for days. Jesus hadn't shown up. I guess what he meant was for us just to go back. It's been 3.5 years. He's resurrected. We get it. They didn't really get it yet. We get it. He's resurrected. We were supposed to see that. We're supposed to be witnesses. And so now we're back at the seashore. It's time to go back fishing. So they go fishing on the Sea of Tiberias, named after the river god, which there is no such thing as the river god. This is where it all started. It's where they were casting their nets. It's where they were mending their nets. It's where they were washing their nets. It's where Jesus first said to them, I will make you fishers of men. It's where Jesus got into the boat in Luke, the 5th chapter that I preached to you several months ago. Whenever Jesus got into the boat of Peter, and Peter said, launch out into the deep. Jesus said, launch out into the deep. And he caught the draught of fishes. And Jesus said then, fear not, for from henceforth you will be fishers of men. And here he is, right back where he started. What's he doing? He's fishing. He's gone back fishing. And so while they're fishing all night, very similar to Luke 5, you know, they had fished all night and caught nothing. Very similar to that. So now they're back to the beginning. They figure Jesus is through with them. You know, they're probably thinking he fired us. You know, Peter denied him. Thomas doubted him. Nathaniel was negative towards him and towards the other disciples. And the sons of thunder were just shooting off at the mouth all the time. He's fired us. I mean, look what we did. And so while they're out there in the Sea of Tiberias, which is named after the river god, the god of all rivers shows up. The god of all sea and water shows up on the seashore. And you might say he catches them red-handed. He caught them in the act because he already knew that they were out there. They fished all night. Sun's come up. They're exhausted. You know, they weren't patient to wait for Jesus to come. And, you know, Jesus has a sense of humor. There's no doubt about that. He has a sense of humor. It says, when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus stands on the shore. And by the way, they're about 100 yards out. They're about 300 feet out. So they're about 100 yards out, about the length of the football field. And Jesus calls out to them and he says, children, have you any meat? He knows they don't have anything. You see, he's kind of chiding them a little bit, isn't he? He's chiding them. Why? Because they've gone back to something that they never should have gone back to. Children, have you any meat? And they called out. They said, no, we don't have anything. You got any food on that boat? You got any provision on that boat? On your plan and on you doing what you have chosen to do and you going your way? And they said, no. And he says, cast the net on the right side of the ship and you shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. I remember when I spoke to you about launch out into the deep. You know, the Lord's power had just kept those fishes away, you know, for the whole night. And then all of a sudden, here comes a herd of fishes, or a school of fishes, I guess would be better. A school of fishes just comes piling. You can just see the water boiling up. And all of a sudden, they've got a net full of fishes that's so much that they can't draw. And these are big fish, by the way. It says there were 153 in the net. That's a lot of big fishes. And so then the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John in verse 7, he looks to Peter and he says, it is the Lord. He was perceptive, was he not? Aren't you glad for people in your life that are spiritually perceptive? You know, that can tell you the truth of a matter, biblically speaking, rather than just taking what everybody's opinion is. You know, that's the way it was with Jesus. That some said that he was Elijah. Some said he was John resurrected. Some said he was another prophet. But it says that Peter looked at him and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It wasn't the majority opinion that was the correct opinion there, right? And here is John who looks upon Peter and I can just see him lay his hand on him. He says, it's the Lord. You know, what clued him in? those fish. You know, John remembered Luke, the fifth chapter. Remember when we launched out into the deep and the Lord filled our nets? And John says, it's the Lord. And look at Peter. It says, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Now, this is interesting, because most of the time when you find people casting themselves into the water, they're usually taking their clothes off, you know, stripped down to nothing hardly, and jump in the water. Well, here is Simon Peter, who is naked. He has no shirt on, and he's been working and toiling all night, and he goes and jumps in the water. He puts his coat on and jumps in the water. That's kind of ironic, isn't it? Maybe a whole other message in that right there that we'll get to sometime. But most people taking their clothes off and jumping in the water. Here Peter puts his clothes on and he jumps in the water. You know why? Because he's embarrassed. Because the Lord has caught him red-handed doing something that God never intended for him to do. And you know why he puts his coat on? Because he knows he's about to travel. It's about time for him to get to the business of the Lord. He has done his business enough. You find him three times here going back and fishing. He was fishing when Jesus first came to him, and Jesus said, you're going to be a fisher of men. And then he goes back to fishing again, and he says, from henceforth, you're going to catch men. And then here he is once again after the Lord has resurrected, and he's still doing his own thing. That's our nature. Did you know that? Has the Lord blessed you to see the truth? Has the Lord blessed you to see yourself as a sinner? Don't go back. Don't go back to the sin. Don't go back. You know, I think about it like this. You know, we all kind of hit benchmarks in our lives when we evaluate our lives. I hope you do that. I don't care what age you are. I don't care if you're 10 or 5 or 15 or 95. You can hit benchmarks in your life and evaluate where you are. And when you evaluate where you are and what God has done for you and how He's blessed you and how He's given you the truth and He's let you see that you are a sinner in need of a Savior and He's your Savior, why in the world would you go back to fishing like Peter did? We need to have benchmarks. And you know, it's very important to us to look. I look back in my life very often and I think about places that I was. And then I think about where I am. And I don't mean, you know, thumb in your lapel and say, well, I'm doing pretty good for myself. No, I'm talking about looking back in shame on sin and see, where was I at this point? And why in the world did God bless me to come out of that? It's by His mercies we are not consumed. So you think about where you were and what you were doing and what you were saying, and you think about where you are now. And by God's grace, you need to be growing in grace and see that you're making progress in the kingdom of God. That's so important to understand. Now, poor old Peter right here, he's not making much progress right now. Now, I will give him a little gold medal, though, for just throwing his coat on and jumping in. I mean, he was a pretty passionate man, was he not? I mean, he's caught red-handed. He sees that he's messed up. He sees he shouldn't have gone fishing. He shouldn't have gone back. The words of the Lord are coming back to him, and he's thinking, we haven't been fired. He's not through with us. He's on the seashore. So he throws his shirt on, looks around, and jumps into the water and begins to make his way through the water. Can't you just see him doing that? Oh, Lord, coming through the water. He's trying to make up for lost time. Do you get that? I hope you feel that way. Because your time is limited on this earth. Psalms 90 said that the days of man are 70, and if by reason of strength they be more than that, you've got a limited amount of time on this earth. Awake, the Apostle Paul said. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise to the light and follow the Lord with the time that you have remaining. I think back to the 8 years that I wasted pursuing the foolishness and the endeavors that I desired to pursue. I think I was called to preach when I was about 18 years old. And I think, my goodness, if I could have just had that 8 years back to preach. You know, what would the kingdom look like today? Oh, God's merciful though, isn't He? That's for sure. He's merciful. But I think about that 8 years all the time. And I wish I could get that back and preach the glorious truth that has saved me from so much trouble in this life. Oh, I wish I could have it back. But you know what? There's no amount of money. There's no trick. There's no magic. There's nothing I can do to get that back. So I'm just going to go full steam ahead right now. But that's what we suffer with, isn't it? Think about that past and what you did and how you failed. There's just no way the Lord would use me anymore. Have you ever thought that? I've thought that many times. And then I think, if He is using me, why is He using me? What am I? I am nothing. You imagine that's what the apostles felt. He's done with us. We're fired. It's over with. We'll just go fishing. We'll go back to our career of fishing. You know, when I was when I moved back, Sister Tracy and I moved back from Nashville, I was scheduled to start working, or I planned to start working, practicing law in August of 1999. We moved back in May, and I intentionally left those 3 months, June, July, and well, basically the May, June, July, and then I would start practicing law in August, not to go and lay out at the beach, and not to go recreation and vacation, but I intentionally left those 3 months open so that I could go and one more time, work with my dad on the farm, you know, for like, you know, a few dollars an hour. I tell you, that was one of the most glorious times, just for that 2 or 3 months, to get back out there, to do the things that I was able to do back in those days and back when Dad was still able to do the things that he used to do, build fences, work in the chicken house, work with cows. That was one of the most glorious, but I knew it was temporary. I knew it was temporary because I was scheduled to begin working down in Carrollton in August. But I look back on that 3 months, it was just temporary. These guys here, it wasn't temporary. They're done. They're going back to doing what they used to do. They figured it out in their own mind. They thought, Lord's through with us. He doesn't need us anymore. I denied him. Thomas doubted him. Nathaniel was negative towards him. The sons of thunder wanted to call down fire to destroy people. Foolishly. He's done with us. Let me tell you something, child of God. You find your benchmark. You see where you are. You see where you were. God commands us to grow in grace. He doesn't command us to be perfect. We can't be perfect, but He commands us to grow. And don't go back to fishing. Don't go back to that former career and lifestyle of sin. Don't go back to that. And don't lose the ground that you've gained. Don't lose that ground. And somebody says, I'm not worthy. That's right. Nobody's worthy. Worthiness is not the subject. The subject is mercy and grace. And it was grace that Jesus called out to them. And He said, come and dine. After they brought in their net, after they went up to the seashore and they drew the net in. And He says, come and dine. Jesus already got the food prepared here. He's already got the fish broiling there on the coals. He's already got the water there. He's got everything you need. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He commands His chosen people, come and dine. That's what the song says. That's what the Word of God says. Why would you go back into the nakedness of your sin like Peter did? He was ashamed that he was naked because he'd gone back to what he was. He'd gone back to the way he thought. He'd gone back into the things that took him back to places he didn't need to go. Why would you go back to the nakedness of your former sin? Look at where you are. Look at what God's given you and push forward in the kingdom of God. Listen. There's no sin that any child of God has committed that Jesus hadn't paid for on the cross. You say, I feel condemnation. So do I. At the same time I feel condemnation, I can lift up an eye of faith and I can see the cross. And I can see that my condemnation was taken care of on that cruel cross by the mercy and love and compassion of my loving Savior, who stands even now at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us. Don't go back to fishing. Nothing wrong with just a little fishing trip every now and then. Y'all understand what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong even with the career of being a fisherman. But the point is, Peter was called out of that and he went back to it. If the Lord calls you out of your sin and tells you to repent and come forward and follow Him, don't go back. Don't go back to the nakedness. Clothe yourselves, what? In the garments of grace, and follow Him.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.